Lord, we've been praying as we've sung. We've been praying that you will speak. And that's what we pray you will do to us now, that you will speak to us from your word and make our hearts and lives receptive to it, we pray, to the glory of your name. Amen. Well, please sit down and take the Bible, if you would, again, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, which is in the second part of the Bible, right towards the back of the Bible, page 174. Page 174. While you're finding that, let me say two things. First of all, just a big thank you to our PA team, because they spent hours and hours here this week, and you may notice, I hope you will notice, that the quality of the colours and so on the screen are much, much better because the cable has been completely renewed. So big thank you to all who did that. And then to say to parents, we love having children here. I really don't mind the noise, but if a noise is a problem to you or you're feeling it's distracting your neighbours from listening to God's word, then of course at any stage, please feel free to take them down to the creche, downstairs and along, and they'd be delighted to have your children. But we're delighted to have them as well. So 1 Corinthians 16, and there are notebooks and pens in the seats in front of you if you'd like to take notes as the outline goes up on the screen. This is the last sermon on Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Those of us who've been coming to morning services for some time will know that we have been delving into the riches of this book on and off over the last 2 years. When you read it, and Mark was so right to talk about the church family, when you read it, it makes you very grateful for our church family in all sense. Because here was a church in Corinth which was a complete mess. They were splitting into factions, following one leader or another. There was gross immorality. One member of the church was living in an incestuous relationship. There were others who were visiting prostitutes. Some Christians were suing others in the law courts. They were bickering selfishly over unimportant issues. In their communion services, some people brought along massive meals while others starved. There were disputes over spiritual gifts, especially about speaking in tongues. Some said openly they thought we Christians would not be given new resurrection bodies when Christ comes again. And it makes you think, we may not be perfect in the All Saints Church family, but at least we're not like that. But there is also a challenge for us as a church family, because Paul has painted a picture in this great book of a church united around Christ and his cross. A church that in an immoral world reserves sexual activity for marriage where God intended it. A church family that when someone upsets us easily overlooks the offense and forgives. A church that values the single life at least as highly, if not more highly, than marriage. A church which, in our services of worship, always thinks of what will help other people, particularly the visitor and the person who is not yet a Christian. A church that treasures every member and thinks of every gift as equally given by the Holy Spirit for the common good. A church that knows that the two most important events in all history are the death of Christ for our sins and the resurrection of Christ to give us eternal life. That's the kind of church that we at All Saints seek increasingly to be. And now in chapter 16 come Paul's last words. As often in his letters, a collection of important thoughts, not necessarily closely connected with each other, and in the case of this letter, about money, and mission and friends. So in the first paragraph, money. Look with me now at verses 1 to 3. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, you should follow the directions I gave to the churches of Galatia. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save whatever extra you earn, so that collections need not be taken when I come. And when I arrive, I will send any whom you approve with letters to take your gift to Jerusalem. This was a special collection for special needs. It wasn't their regular giving for the pastoral and evangelistic work of their own church at Corinth, or for the support of any of their elders who were paid to work full-time for the church. This was specifically, as the end of verse 3 says, for the church in Jerusalem. We know from elsewhere in the New Testament that the church, the Christian church in Jerusalem, was especially poor. And so richer churches were being asked by Paul to have a special collection for the impoverished church in Jerusalem to support their pastoral and evangelistic work. So the equivalent for us is not our giving by banker's order or envelope for the work of All Saints, or even to our World Mission Fund. The nearest equivalent is our annual World Mission Gift Day, when this year we gave to help James Brackpool's youth ministry in Canada and the work of Sat7 in bringing the gospel by TV to Muslim countries. Or a slightly less close equivalent would be our annual All Saints Gift Day, or when we have a retiring offering for an international disaster. So how are we as Christians to be able to give to special needs? Paul says, be regular. Look at verse 2. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save whatever extra you earn. Catherine and I have followed the example of many, many Christians before us in opening a second bank account. One account is for all our regular needs as a family. The second account is for our giving as Christians. From that second account comes our monthly banker's order to All Saints. And there is also money in there ready to be given to a gift day or for other special needs of poorer churches in this country or overseas. Then, says Paul, our giving should be proportionate. Look again at those same words in verse 2. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save whatever extra you earn. So when we earn less, we give less. And when we earn more, we give more. I find it helpful to have reviews every 6 months, or at least every year, of our family finances, and then always to adjust our giving accordingly. Many of us over these last few years have had to leave our giving where it has been or decrease our giving both to our church and to special needs. But many of us now are able to review our at last perhaps improving finances and give more. In February, I reached that wonderful age when you stop having to pay national insurance on, in my case, my salary. So, of course, I can give more. And if we do this, says Paul, our giving will be available. Give regularly and proportionately, he says in verse 2, so that, look at the end of the verse now, collections need not be taken when I come. I wonder if you've had that experience of a gift day coming around and you'd like to give, but there's no money there. Paul says, put aside some money proportionate to your earnings every week, or probably for most of us, every month, and then there will always be money for special giving. In this case, as the end of verse 3 says, to take your gift, he says literally, it's a rather lovely phrase, to take your grace to the poor church of Jerusalem. And so from money to mission. Follow it with me in the text of the Bible, or if you like, on the map here. Paul says, verse 5, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I go. I don't want to see you now just in passing, for I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. Part of Paul's mission, part of God's call to all of us, is strengthening Christians. A short time before, Paul had spent 18 months in Corinth, planting the new church, leading people to Christ. And now he wanted to come back to spend some time with them, to help them and encourage them and strengthen their faith. All over our church family, this is happening. I sat next to someone at Bill Gould's funeral on Thursday, and I said to her, how do you know the Goulds? Oh, she said, Margaret Gould and I had a Bible reading partnership a few years ago, and it was so helpful for our faith. We still see each other regularly. Yesterday, I was with a Christian woman who has always wanted to go to Christianity Explored, but had no one to go with. And now another member of the church family has said, well, let's do it together. When I visit among the church family, I find that there is one particular lay pastor, I won't mention his name, who has very often been there before me. Oh yes, I say, he's a wonderful man, isn't he? Yes, comes the answer, and normally a big smile. He's been so supportive of my faith. But Paul isn't coming to Corinth yet to strengthen the Christians because, look at verses 8 and 9, he says, I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me. And there are many adversaries. He's talking about his work here of witnessing for Christ. He is finding people very open to the message of Christ, and he doesn't want to miss taking those opportunities. It's just the same in Crowborough. Yesterday, a group of us went in pairs for what is called Crowborough visiting, using a questionnaire to ask people door to door about their beliefs. When we came back, we found that every single pair had had at least one really encouraging conversation. Trisco Bell and I spent most of that morning visiting just one lady, and when we went back with a large print Bible for her, she said, I'm so glad I met you. And there may be opportunities for us to get talking to people when over the next few weeks most of us go on holiday. In the airport departure lounge, as we wait interminably for the plane. Or on the plane itself with the person you're sitting next to. Or over dinner at the hotel you stay at, or by the swimming pool.
You get talking to someone and perhaps have the opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ. And if you've packed two or three of one of the Gospels in your luggage, or a couple of Christian booklets, you may be able to pass them on. And so from money and mission to friends, the last 15 verses are about friends. And he begins by talking about Christian leaders and starts with Timothy. Look now at verses 10 and 11. If Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord just as I am. Therefore, let no one despise him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may come back to me, for I'm expecting him with the brothers. Timothy was coming as a new leader to Corinth. He was young. Paul has told us earlier in the letter, in chapter 4, that Timothy, when he comes, will have to sort out some of the things that have gone wrong in the church at Corinth. And he hopes no one in Corinth, he says in chapter 4, will turn out to be self-centered and arrogant. He hopes, he says here, that no one will despise Timothy. So no wonder that Timothy might be feeling, as verse 10 puts it, fearful as he comes to be a new leader in the church. And Paul says, make sure he's generously received by you. Because, look at the end of verse 10, he's doing the work of the Lord just as I am. Suppose your current house group leader steps down and a new leader comes in. Or there's a new overall leader for a group at All Saints that you belong to. Perhaps they lead in a way that's different from what you're used to. Perhaps they make some changes. They may make mistakes. But, says Paul, receive them generously, because, verse 10, they're doing the work of the Lord. Paul mentions another Christian leader in verse 12, Apollos, who sadly can't visit them at this time. And then he comes to a further leader called Stephanas and members of his family. Look at verses 15 and 16. Now, brothers and sisters, you know that members of the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia. And they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, put yourselves at the service of such people and of everyone who works and toils with them. Stephanas has actually come to Paul with some other Christian brothers. Verse 17, I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they've made up for your absence. For they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. So give recognition to such people. Recognize their leadership, says Paul in verse 18, and also work under their leadership. They are servant leaders, as the end of verse 15 puts it. They've devoted themselves to the service of the saints, that is, of other Christians. Now, says Paul, work under them. Verse 16, I urge you to put yourself at the service of, literally to put yourself under, such people. You may be on a team in All Saints, in junior church, in the music group, on the hospitality team, on the coffee room rota. And the overall leader may have made a decision that you're not sure about. Or they may ask you to work in a way you wouldn't have chosen. They're seeking to serve the saints, that is, all Christians, says Paul in verse 15. Now, swallow your hesitations and work under them, he says, supporting them. And then he turns to all Christians and says, let's make sure we're living in love. Look now at verses 13 and 14. Keep alert, he says. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. And then comes a whole host of greetings, verses 19 and 20. The churches of Asia send greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, greet you warmly in the Lord. All the brothers and sisters send greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. A holy kiss or a holy hug, which is why I've shown two Christians embracing here. We're to love one another in the Christian family. And then Paul picks up his pen and writes with his own hand. Verse 21. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Love is so important. He says some strong things about those who don't love Jesus. You can see that in verse 22. Let anyone be accursed who has no love for the Lord. Our Lord come. And he ends with his own love. Verses 23 and 24, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, my love be with all of you in Christ Jesus. This is a church in Corinth which is full of faults, but he loves them and he urges them to love one another. We are a church family that is not in such a state as the Corinthian Christians, thank God, but we're far from perfect. But I hope I love you, and that we do love and are growing in love for one another. So as we draw the threads together, what is it that Paul is saying in this last chapter? He wants the Corinthians, he wants us, to be men and women who are wholeheartedly devoted to Christ. He wants our wallet to be converted to Christ. Don't know if you can see here, but this man's just taken out some money, which he's holding in his hands, from the hole in the wall. He wants us every week or every month or at least every year to review our finances and to be carefully, regularly, monthly setting aside with generosity and proportionately to give to our church, yes, but also to have money to give generously for special needs and to learn the joy of Christian giving. He wants our mouth to be directed to Christ so that we're looking out for opportunities to encourage other Christians. Do you know the way that we can encourage other Christians more than anything else often, at least the way to begin? Just by listening to them. Here's Katie Vivian back from India. It's lovely to see you here, Katie. I wonder how many people will have said to you, how was it in India? Oh, good, fine, good. And then they move on to something else. Katie's just longing to tell you about her time in Hebron and how wonderful it was. This is Hebron School, you understand, not Hebron in Israel. Listening to people. And then perhaps looking at the Bible with them and praying with them. And for our mouth to be used to bring the Christian message to those who are not yet Christians. Perhaps at the holiday at home that Pam Jones is organizing. Or at a friend's barbecue, or lending a book to somebody. And looking for that opportunity to say a word or two about Jesus. And he wants our hearts to be directed by Christ. So that we love him. We're not embarrassed to say, I love Jesus Christ. And that we're growing in love for one another. That's the kind of individual Christian man or woman that God wants us increasingly to be. It's the kind of church family that God wants us to grow into. And as always, the Bible, in this case, 1 Corinthians, will help us wonderfully to become what God is wanting. Let's pray about that. Just a moment for us to be silent. We often do this. And if there is any single verse or word from this passage of the Bible that we've looked at today, when through which God has spoken to you, then speak back to him. Say, Father, I want to obey you in that way. A moment for our silent prayer. So, Heavenly Father, help us to be given over wholly to your Son, the Lord Jesus, in heart and mouth and wallet, but in every area of our life. More and more given over to you to love and serve you and our fellow Christians, members of our church family, and then the wider world that so much needs Jesus Christ. Amen.